So I'm going to talk today about a topic. It's extremely important to me. Definitely more of a teachy type of sermon rather than, you know, get you all goosebumpy. But it's an extremely important topic. We had a chavarad, my home group, that we have at our house every other Tuesday. We had a couple of teachings on this. But I don't think I've ever given a sermon. Maybe almost 10 years ago I gave a sermon on it. But it's very, very important. You know, we're a loving congregation. And people that come to the congregation, I hear it all the time, that there's enormous amount of just love, very special love and feeling of joy and family in this community. And I know it's a divine thing. It's a divine thing. It's not me. You know, some people will try to give me and Susie props. You know, it's from leaders. It goes from the leadership. Yeah, it goes from the leader. That's who it goes from. It's a divine thing. It's a heavenly thing. But part of love, an important part of love that really is lacking or is missing in the body, and it's a critical part, actually, even though it doesn't feel good, is the art and science of giving and receiving a corrective word and a rebuke, correction. You know, there it is. So this sermon is called The Who, What, When, Where, Why, and How of giving and receiving correction. So it's a very, very important topic. You know, every place that when the Bible talks about giving or receiving correction within the body, it's always, always spoken of as a positive. Always. The giving a word of correction is viewed positively. The receiving of a word of correction is viewed positively all throughout the scripture, from the Old Covenant to the New, from the Tanakh to the Brit Hadashah. But in this hour, especially in this time, the giving of a word of correction is not looked at positively, and the receiving of it is most certainly not looked at positively. People feel judged. People feel condemned. People feel that they're being picked on. And that feeling of it sort of overwhelms maybe what the Lord is doing in that moment. But it's a big part, an important part of being in the body. And it's an important part of love. So we're going to go there. So why is correction, especially in this time, why isn't it given, even though it's spoken of so much in the scripture? And I had my own journey, personal journey with this. I've grown up with a bit of a fear of confrontation, not really wanting to confront people. That had to go away, being a rabbi and serving as leader of a congregation, because things have to be addressed and things have to be dealt with and certain things happen. And you have to do it. You can't just avoid it. It's very, very unholy to not give it. But in the body, it's not given, and there are various reasons, and this is not obviously an exhaustive list, but fear of confrontation is one of them. People don't want to give the word because they're afraid. They're afraid of that interaction, because the interaction may not exactly be, oh, thank you, tell me more. You may get a little bit of a defensive response. You don't know what the response will be if you do wind up giving a word of correction to somebody. And people are afraid of that. They're afraid that it's going to be taken a certain way. And there's fear of man in that. I think one of the main reason that correction is not given is because of fear. The main reason. So people just don't want to offend. They just don't want to cause trouble. Yeah, it's their problem. I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want them to feel offended by me. I just don't want to have any problems. Just leave it to them and the Lord or whatever it is. Or maybe somebody else will tell them. You know, people don't want to offend people. Pastors don't want to lose congregants. This is very, very unholy for a pastor or a rabbi to withhold the word of correction if the Holy Spirit is telling to give the word, because you're afraid that you might lose congregants. But it does happen. It absolutely does happen. But that is actually something that I do believe that the Lord will hold teachers and pastors accountable, especially if the Holy Spirit is saying, this is wrong, it needs to be addressed, and they don't want to address it because they're afraid of loss of people or something like that. And you don't feel it's your business. You know, like, why am I? Why am I giving this person? Who am I to give this person correction? Maybe you just feel that you're not the right person because you struggle with certain things. Or maybe you feel like you don't have the relationship with the person to do it. And those are great questions to ask. And we're going to go through the who, what, when, where, why, and how of giving correction and why we should be asking, am I really the person for this job? Or not? You know, sometimes we're not. Just because the Lord says, you know, that's the problem with that person, and that's something that needs to be addressed, it doesn't mean always that he's telling you to do it. Sometimes he's just telling you to pray. Sometimes he's telling you to just lift it up. And you're not the vessel. So it's important to ask that question. But sometimes people, even if they're in like an accountability relationship with somebody, they'll pull back. It's like, it's their problem. It's not mine. It's not really my thing. I don't want to deal. I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. So you really can't really talk about it. And that's not really where the Lord wants relationship to be. Because in relationship, sometimes you have to tell people where if they're going wayward in some capacity. So those are some of the reasons why correction is not given. Why is it not received? Well, people feel judged. People feel defensive. They feel defensive. They feel like, how dare they? They don't know the situation. They don't know me. They don't know what I've dealt with and things like that. And I've come to learn probably 99.9% of the time that if somebody gives me a word of correction, I have a defensiveness, self-defensiveness wells up. That's not of the Lord. It may happen. Anger may happen, or there may be some sort of internal reaction that I have, but it's not from God. And I have found that if I'm looking to defend myself, it's probably not of him. It's probably not of him. Yeshua is silent before his shearers. But this is why people don't like it. Sometimes it triggers our own insecurities. You know, sometimes somebody will tell you something, but you have a deeper insecurity like that. You feel a sense of unworthiness or that you are not worthy of love, and they're just kind of reinforcing what you already feel about yourself. So instead of receiving maybe that chastisement from the Lord that he wants you to grow from, you revert into some sort of depression, saying, oh, I know, I'm terrible, and it becomes about how awful you are as a person. And you're not really receiving really what the goal of this was. So that's another reason why people don't receive correction well. There's distrust of the giver, the person who's actually giving. Like, what's their motive? Why are they doing it? You know, what is their motive? What gives him the right to talk to me? What gives him the right? You know, in the relationship, perhaps you don't have a good relationship with the person who's giving the word, and you distrust their motive, and because you don't trust the person, the words have to be thrown away also. And that's not always the case. And both things, you could tackle this in so many angles, and we're going to. You know, having relationship is, I believe, the foundation of being able to give a corrective word. We are not the thought police. We are not the morality police of everyone. We're not meant to be. Just because you may sense something, it doesn't mean you have to be the person to do it. And if you're that person that, like, you're pointing out everybody's flaws, you're probably not operating in the Lord. So we need to make sure that our motives are right when we give correction, but when we receive correction, we need to just find out, extract, like, really, what is the Lord doing in this situation? But sometimes because we don't trust or like the person who's giving the word, we just throw out the baby with the bathwater. And then finally, of course, the reason that it's not received is because that didn't work. Maybe I can get some help at the PowerPoint. Was that you or me? That was me. Okay, there it is. Obviously, spiritual rebellion. Obviously, there's a reason why people won't want to receive correction. If they are actually in sin and somebody very much in love tells them that there's what you're doing is sinful, and they don't want to receive it, they'd rather be in sin, that's rebellion. And I've dealt with that. Where people just don't want to hear that. It's clear, obvious, very, very strong sin, but nope, I'm justified in what I'm doing. My marriage isn't good, I'm justified in the adultery. I've experienced that. So, Yeshua said it's better to give than to receive. Funny thing about this verse, where do you think this verse, I'm going to give you a little quiz. Where is this verse better to give than to receive? I'm going to give you three options. The Gospels, Acts, or the writings of Paul. Who says the Gospels? Wording of Yeshua. Okay, who says Acts? Who says the writings of Paul? Wow, okay. The answer is Acts. Paul actually says that the Lord, Yeshua, said it's his words, it's better to give than to receive. Those words are actually not in the Gospels. So it's something that was handed down to Paul. It's interesting. It's such a common phrase of Yeshua's, it's better to give than to receive, but it's actually not in the Gospels. Nonetheless, he did say it according to Paul. That was when he was saying his goodbyes to the Ephesus congregation. Anyway, so it's better to give than to receive. But I want to ask the question, when it comes to correction, raise your hand if you prefer to give correction over receiving it. Oh, Michelle prefers to give. Stephen prefers to give. Wendy prefers to give. Who prefers to receive the correction? Okay, some more. And most people didn't want to answer the question. But most people would rather receive the correction, just kind of suck it up, right? Then actually have to go through the process of addressing a brother or a sister who may be going wayward. So it's better to give than to receive, but when it comes to correction, for a lot of people, it's better to receive than it is to give. It's like the one exception to the rule. So there are many scriptures that talk about giving and receiving correction. The Proverbs are loaded with them. Proverbs is from Solomon, just little statements of wisdom. So there's several of them. I just have a couple here. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. That's actually the Hebrew word, stupid. And well, that's not the Hebrew word, but the Hebrew word is the word for stupid. But the Bible is very, very clear. It's very clear how holy it is to receive a word of correction, as difficult as it may be in the moment, and even if it goes up you sideways. So Yeshua, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. So even in the confines of the relationship within the disciples and within the body, Yeshua even gives the instructions. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. So it's even in the instruction of Yeshua. And then there's a great scripture from Paul to his spiritual son, Timothy. Now, Timothy, I believe that he was training up to be a leader. He's training up to be an elder or pastor or to lead one of his communities. And he was a young man, Timothy, and he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And often when we see that and we think of that verse, be ready in season and out of season, we think of either preaching or we think of evangelizing. Be ready in season and out of season if you ever need to share the Lord with somebody. But he continues here, reprove, rebuke, exhort. So it's both. So it's both. It's the rebuke. It's actually to say when the correction is needed, but also to exhort, to encourage. To encourage. Be ready in season and out of season for these. And when is it out of season? When it's difficult. When is it in season? When it's easy. With great patience and instruction. And listen to this. For the time will come, because this is now, folks. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They don't want to be told to stop doing this. They don't want to be told to change their life in this way. They just want to do what they're doing, and they're going to look for pastors who won't hold them to God's standard for living. And this is so commonplace these days. But it's not the way it should be. It's not the way it should be. So in all the scriptures that I mentioned, in all the scriptures, and there are more, that was just a little slice off the top of the scriptures pertaining to giving and receiving correction. But in all of those scriptures, who is the one doing the correcting? Is it humans, people, or is it the Holy Spirit? No, it's people. It's people. Now, people will say that, you know, I don't need people to correct me. The Holy Spirit will do it. You don't need to tell me anything. If I need to be told something, if I need a change in my way, the Lord will tell me. The Holy Spirit will tell me. And it's true that the Holy Spirit will tell us. The Holy Spirit says he convicts us of sin, reminds us of the words of Yeshua. That's what John said about the giving of the Holy Spirit. But in all of these cases, it's a human going to another human. It's a human going to another human. So this, you don't need to talk to me that the Holy Spirit will talk to me. I don't need humans to talk to me. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Within the body, within the accountability relationships and the love relationship we have with each other, within the body, there is absolutely the place for talking to people about something that might be wrong. It's part of it. It's part of life. It's part of communal living. It's part of love. And it's something that the Lord expects. It's something that the Lord expects. So we're going to go through, most of this is going to be on the giving of the correction, because that's where a lot of it goes wayward. So we're going to go through the who, what, when, where, why, and how of giving and receiving correction. This works for me. This helps me a lot. Now, we all have different personalities. You know, there might be some people here, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to shoot now and aim later. When it comes to giving correction, I'm more of, let me just make sure that everything is right. There's always a time to step back and to say, like, okay, and to just make sure that this is done properly and to lift it up to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit drive it through you. So the who, what, when, where, why, and how are very, in my opinion, important questions to ask if you happen to be in one of these times where you're going to give a corrective word to somebody. So you don't have to be quick with your words. You can be slow with your words. And those are great questions to ask. So who are you correcting? This is an important question to ask. Who is it that you are correcting? Is it a person that's under you, like under your authority in some way? Are you a boss and this person is an employee of yours? Are you a ministry leader or a congregational leader and the person is under your spiritual covering in some way? Are you a parent to the child? In all of these things, absolutely, you are in that place. You are the right person to do it. If you are somebody's spiritual covering or they're in your sphere of responsibility, God gives us all responsibilities. It might just be in the family. It might be one person. It might be a ministry. It might be a job. But he gives everybody some level of authority. And if that person is in your level of authority, it is absolutely in your realm, it's actually absolutely for you to give a word of correction if needed. It's absolutely within your right and responsibility to give a word if somebody that you are accountable for, is going the wrong way. Person over you, is it your boss, your pastor, your ministry leader, your group leader, something like that? Is the person over you? All I could say for this, now everybody knows, everybody has my ear. Everybody has my ear. But I will say in general, if you have a corrective word for somebody who is like over you, like a spiritual covering or a boss or somebody that's actually, that God put as an authority over you, all I could say to you is just do it in meekness. Be careful. And yeah, do it in meekness and do it in humility. Often it might not be your role to do that. And I want to talk generally and I want to talk personally. Everybody has my ear. Anybody can tell me anything about anything that's happening at Mishkan or about me. But in general, it's something we need to be cautious about if we're going to give a corrective word to somebody who's our covering, who's over us. Paul said this one scripture in Acts. Now, Paul was, you know, duking it out with the Jewish people like he always was. And all of a sudden, somebody went to Paul and said that, you know, that's the high priest. And Paul pulled back. He pulled back. He said, I was not aware, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. That's from Torah. You shall not curse God or curse a ruler of your people. That is in Exodus. So once he realized that this person was a person of authority, he pulled it back. And of course, there's the famous story of David when he would not curse the man of God. He would not curse Saul. Even though Saul was a wicked king and a crazy king, he would not speak a word against God's anointed. Because at the end of it, he was still king and he wasn't going to speak a word against him. So can a word come forth, a word of correction to somebody who's over you and has authority over you, spiritual authority or a boss? Absolutely, it can. I would just say be cautious with it. Be cautious with it. Who are you correcting? Is the person mature? Is the person mature enough to receive it? You know, it says in the Proverbs, don't reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Now, I don't really believe it's saying just don't do it. Because it's the scoffers, the mockers that often need the correction, right? Well, you're not just gonna correct the great men and women, right? Sometimes you gotta correct people who need it, right? But it's essentially what it's saying here is if you do reprove a scoffer or a mocker, there's a good chance it's not gonna go well. It doesn't mean don't do it. It just means it may not go well because they don't have the heart or the mentality or the maturity to actually receive it in love. Do you have a loving accountability relationship with the person? I think this is absolutely critical. Again, we are not the morality police of everyone. Even if we're believers, we are not the morality police of everyone. We don't need to just monitor everything that people's doing, that everybody's doing. But if we have a loving relationship with a person, if we have a loving, true relationship with a person where there's trust built over time, yes, absolutely, you could be the vessel for that job. If you don't have a loving relationship with the person, you may not be that vessel. So it's good to ask, who am I correcting? Who am I seeking to correct? And when you ask this question, you may get an unction from the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe I'm not the guy for the job or the gal for the job. Are you sure that you are the vessel? It's holy to bring this before the Lord. Am I really the person to do this? Rather than be quick with your words. So that's the who. Now the what. What are you correcting? There are many things. There are various things we can correct. Is it a sin? Is it a behavior that has nothing to do with sin? Do you talk too much? It's not a sin. Right? Are you sarcastic? That's not a sin. But is it something that you feel that needs correcting? Or do you interrupt a lot in gatherings? Not a sin. But maybe it needs correcting. Or is it a difference of opinion? It's important to realize, like, not everything that you think is so bad is actually sinful. You just might have a difference of opinion. It might be a difference of personality or style. Some people have come to me and said, you know, you don't talk enough about this or that or this. It's an opinion. They're not right. They're not wrong. It's an opinion. But it's okay. It's still within the purview of what you could share with somebody. But it's important to recognize the difference between sin, which is very important, and opinion. It doesn't mean you can't talk about opinion, but it's important to recognize what you are correcting. And something for me that I find very helpful and important, when you see something in somebody, is it just a one-time thing, or is it a repeating occurrence? Are they doing it again and again and again? Witnesses are established, it says, with two or more witnesses. And sometimes if somebody does something once, maybe you just let it go. Maybe you pray about it. And if it happens again, then you're like, okay, now we have a repetitive problem, a recurring problem, and it needs to be addressed. But sometimes if it's just a one-time thing, maybe it is just a one-time thing. Maybe the person was having a bad day and that's it. And you lift it up and you move on. So what are you correcting? Who are you correcting? What are you correcting? And do you fully understand what you are correcting? You know, sometimes there's a lot of misunderstanding. You think you know what the person is doing or has done or the motive or whatever it is, but sometimes we don't know the full story. So before you even give a word of correction, you know, you can go to the person and have a conversation. You know, when this happened, you know, tell me why you did this. This is something that I experienced, but tell me why. Just tell me your point of view of this whole thing, because I'm confused about this. I'm confused about what you said. Tell me what you're thinking. And maybe, just through dialogue, a word of correction may not be needed. Maybe you'll have understanding. Maybe you'll have understanding just through dialogue. And then you won't even need the word of correction. But it's important to really know what you're correcting. And we don't always know the full story. We think we do, but we don't always know the full story. So having some dialogue to clarify things is always a good thing. It's always a good thing. And that's part of the love relationship between people. Who, what? What was the one I just did before? I did who, what? Got it. Okay. So this is when. When to correct someone. So the question to ask, if you can click it, I'm sorry, this is not working while you're right. Is the Ruach saying now, or is the Ruach not saying now? You know, I've spoken about this before. I remember talking to Rabbi Peter 15 years ago about correction, and the word he gave to me really stuck with me. He said that, you know, if you can be slow to correct people. You can be slow to correct people. But when you feel the Lord say the time is now, then don't wait. Be quick about it. It says in James, but everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak. It's okay to pause on these things. So the when, really take a step back. Is the Holy Spirit wanting you to do it now, or is the Holy Spirit wanting you to just pray? Next slide, please. I'm sorry. When? Are you responding out of offense? If you are still offended, if you are giving somebody a rebuke because of how they treated you, and you're still in a place of offense or being offended, it may not be the time. You may want to calm down a bit first. You may want to sleep on it. You may want to just wait till the emotions go down so you're not coming from a place of anger. It says in James in that very next verse, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That's important. So are you coming from a place of resentment? Are you coming from a place of anger? Are you offended? Are you defending yourself? If that is the case, then maybe it's not yet the right time. Wait till you can think more clearly, and then we'll see what happens. Where should I give the correction? The answer to this is very simple, and it's so important to me. I put it in capital letters, in private, and in person. Now, the private part, is if your brother sins, go and show. Oh, stop it. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. Now, this is obviously from a couple of scriptures where Yeshua gave a process for giving correction. And we're going to go into that a little more deeply. But for now, I just want to say when it first happens, do it in private. And let me tell you something, folks. Social media ain't private. If you're going to rebuke somebody, I can't believe this happened at my church, and you're going to put it on your Facebook wall or something like that or your profile, that's not private. It's not. And in person, I have learned that it is always, always, always best in person. If you can do it in person, do it. If you can't do it in person, get on Zoom. If you can't get on Zoom, do it over the phone. Last is in writing, email and text, because they can be so easily misunderstood. And that is just life. That's not even in correction. Like, I could be at work managing a project, and all of a sudden I see this flurry, this spate of emails that happen, you know, and like, you know, we got to do this. No, we got to do this. No, we got to do this. No, we got to do this. And it could fill up your inbox for an hour. And then I'll go to the folks, listen, let's get into a conference room and work this out. And 5 minutes, it's all done. In person is always better, especially how much more if it happens to be giving somebody correction. So in private, in person is absolutely the where. And why are you giving the correction? This is so important to ask of yourself. What is your motive? Why do you want to do it? Take the time to check yourself. You know, there are so many scriptures on this. I can't see the bottom. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each looking to yourself, so that you will not be, and I don't remember the word after that. Tempted. Thank you. That's right. It's Galatians. Galatians 6. So you will not be tempted. Thank you for that. But it's saying, look to yourself. Look inward. If you want to give a word of correction, take a look. Take a look in yourself. You know, there's a story of Moses. You know, when Korah rebelled, Moses' first reaction was to go on his face. And when you read some of the rabbinical commentaries on, like, why did he go on his face before he acted in boldness and gave that big rebuke to Korah, some of the conclusions in the commentaries is that he wanted to slow down. He didn't want to react out of anger. He didn't want to react rashly. He wanted to slow down and just check himself. And that's why he went down on his face. It's always good to check yourself before you give the word of correction. Here's a question to ask yourself. Is your heart to elevate the person or to elevate yourself? Because our heart, when we give a word of correction, must always be to elevate the person. Must always be to elevate the person. Is there something prideful? Was your pride hurt? And now you're looking to restore your pride. If that's the case, back off. Quiet yourself before the Lord with these things. Is your heart to restore a relationship? That's a good reason to go to somebody. And now the all-important how. Now the sermon begins. So there's a couple of scriptures about how to give correction. One of them is from Revelation, which I love. Now, the first part of Revelation, before it gets into all this end time stuff, it's seven churches. What the Spirit is saying to the seven churches. Right? Are we familiar with that? And if you read what the Spirit is saying to the seven churches, you will often see this paradigm. I know your deeds, I know the love and your faith and your service and your perseverance, but I have this against you. This sequence happens in multiple of those churches, that the Holy Spirit took the time to say, you did this really well, but this is where you need to work on. And it almost seems very human to do that, you know? Like, you want to give somebody a compliment before you kind of zing them with the corrective word, right? It almost seems like a human thing to do. But the Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit took the time to say, you did good in this area. You did good here. Now that I told you that, let me tell you where you need to improve. So that is a good model. That's a good model. And now we get into Matthew 18. I'll just read the three scriptures from Matthew 18 where Yeshua speaks about this. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not, next one, please. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Next slide, please. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So let's break this down a little bit. So go to the next one. So the first time, if you want to give a corrective word, whether it's somebody sinning or he sinned against you, whether he's actually doing a sin or he sinned against you, he insulted you. First thing to do is go to the person in private. And that's what we spoke about. Go to the person in private. Hey, work it out in private. If the person doesn't want to receive it, especially when it comes to sin, nope, not interested in what you have to say, then you can go to the next slide. Go with two or more. Now, the two or more doesn't mean strength in numbers. It doesn't mean you're going to overwhelm them with people. It doesn't mean that these people have your back. Now, first of all, in the number one, this is where things fall apart a lot. Because and I find this a lot even serving you as a congregational leader, most of you come to me and say, I just want you to know, Rabbi, this happened over here. This person spoke to me this way. And I say, did you talk to the person directly? And you will say most of the time, nope, I don't want to. I'm handing it off to you. It is your congregation. It is not for me to talk to the person. You all have done that with me. And I tell you right now that if my answer to you is I'm not touching it unless you go to the person, that is a biblical answer that you would get from me. Because without witnesses, it's just hearsay. It's just hearsay. I cannot go to a person and say, well, you know, Fred told me you did this. You know, Steve, who I went to, might say, I never did. And what am I going to do? I don't know. I wasn't part of the original interaction. So if at all possible, go to the person directly. This is where this process most of the time falls apart because people don't want to do it. They'd rather not deal with it. And this is where all of us would need to grow in going to a person in love and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, this happened and I want to address it. I want to address it. Now, if the person doesn't want to deal with it, and the person doesn't want to change behavior, it doesn't just mean bring people along. Oh, and by the way, back to the number one, if you need cover, like if you just need somebody there, like I'm not comfortable doing it alone, can you come with me, Rabbi, or can an elder just come with me? Sure. It's still one-on-one, and we'll take a step back, and we'll be there for you. So if it's not helping, then you bring the two or more. The two or more is not just to overwhelm with more people. It needs to be witnesses, the people that agree with you. Say, yeah, this person is doing that. This person is insulting people. This person is, speaking negatively. This person is sinning in whatever way. It needs to be witnesses, because you're going to somebody to correct them, to elevate them. If they don't want to hear it, bring other people that can confirm what you're saying. See, it's not just me, bro or sis. It's these people. We feel it's the same thing. We feel the same way. We experience the same thing from you. This is where it says, on the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter is confirmed. What Yeshua is doing is absolutely keeping Torah. It's all from Torah. Next slide, please. And then to the church. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody has the authority to, go up and say, attention, everyone! I'm going to tell you what happened. I went over to Fred over there, and Fred didn't listen. So I want everybody to know. It doesn't mean that. I believe when it says take it to the church, it means take it to the church leadership. That's what I mean. So you tried to deal with it. You tried to deal with other people. Now you could bring it to the leadership to deal with. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't ever happen in public. There is a scripture that says, those who continue to sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. He's telling that to Timothy. Timothy, who is raising up to be a pastor. So sometimes a congregational leader does need to say, we had this issue in the congregation, and this person is no longer with us for whatever reason. Sometimes it does have to come to this in rare situations. And it has happened here in very rare situations. But it just means bring it to the church. Bring it to the church leadership. Bring it to the congregational leadership if you're not getting any traction. And then leave it there. And then the fourth one is, sometimes if the person is really being abusive, obviously separation has to be needed. Separation can be required if the person is being abusive or acting in a certain way where there needs to be separation. And that's what it means, be as a Gentile or a tax collector, Yeshua said. These are people that everybody else avoided. But here's the blessing of this concept. Let him be as a Gentile or a tax collector. Come on, somebody. This is easy stuff. Who hangs out with Gentiles and tax collectors? Yeshua. So it's really handing him off to the Lord. And isn't that freeing? Maybe you do need to take a step back from the person. Maybe there does need to be a separation for a season. But you're handing it off to Jesus. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So that's the who, what, when, why, where, how of giving correction. I hope this is helpful. So I'm just going to give just a very little bit, very, very little bit about the receiving of the correction. The reason I only have a little bit, I've already went through the scriptures and the Proverbs about it's a blessing to be able to receive correction. Here's another one, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise in the rest of your day. So heeding the correction or the rebukes from others is always viewed as a wise thing. And you all know that. We went through the scriptures, so I don't need to go through all of that. I'm just going to give you more tips when it comes to the receiving of the correction that I do my best to employ. I'm a human also. It's not like I can't be emotional when somebody tells me something that I don't like. But here are tips that I find really helpful. Receive the 1%, even if it's the 0.1%. Somebody might tell you something, and the whole thing just stinks. Right? The way he said it, it's insulting. He doesn't understand who I am. He doesn't understand my history. He misunderstood everything. Everything is just, if you feel like you were slimed. And that happens, right? Certainly can happen. But if that happens, seek the little bit that might be from the Lord. And shake off the rest. Because even if the vessel was wrong, even if the motive was wrong, even if he didn't go through the who, what, when, where, why, how, even if how he did it was wrong, even if he really wasn't the vessel to do it, or you didn't feel he was the vessel to do it, even if he did it publicly when it should have been in private, whatever it is, try to say, Adonai, what, is there anything in this? Is there anything in this that I need to grow from? Is there anything in this that will transform me even a little bit more into the image of Yeshua? Into the Son of God, and seek that, and shake off the rest. And be grateful for it. Be grateful for it. If somebody tells you something corrective, even if it just feels very slimy, just be grateful. Be grateful that there might be something there that the Lord wants in this situation. There might be something there that the Lord wants you to learn from. And be grateful for that. And then finally, avoid an ungodly response. As best as you're able, don't respond in anger. Don't respond in defensiveness. Avoid an ungodly response. You don't want to come before the Lord and say, you know, I don't like the way you responded. Yeah, but he spoke to me this way. Yeah, well, I don't like the way you responded to it. And that's all.